Let's listen closely this morning to the words of the Lord Jesus. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Well, we don't have scribes and Pharisees anymore. Fresh out of them. So I don't need to talk to the scribes and the Pharisees. But I suspect that somewhere in the population, there are still a few people that might be hypocrites. So I'll condense the verse. Woe unto you, hypocrites. If I were, sitting in an audience, you know, I'd almost cringe at these words. Hypocrite is a word usually only in the Synoptic Gospels, the first three Gospels. It's used 15 times. And the interesting thing, it's always used by the Lord. Nobody else uses that word. It's confined to denouncing people who seem to be religious. Although it could have been seen and applicable, I'm sure, in other words. But he confines it to the religious hypocrite. It's a word I never remember being... I've never used it to call anybody else that. I don't have the right to say that personally. Call them a hypocrite. The thought might have occurred to me. But I've thought of it. And I'm sure of this. I don't want to be one. These words are somewhat uncharacteristic of the Lord Jesus. Not at all. I suppose that you might call these the most severe of all of the words he ever uttered. See, 95% of the people that are hypocrites are not criminals. See, there's no such thing as a law against hypocrisy. You'll never be hauled over into court and charged with hypocrisy. And if you pay your taxes and you look after your families and you attend church occasionally, at least live a normal life, why would you be a hypocrite? We'll talk about its definition. But he utters these words because, as professing Christians, first of all, 65% of the people of the United States of America call themselves Christians. Now, you can go, I don't know where you live, what your neighborhood is. Maybe you live in a neighborhood that's 65% practicing followers of Jesus. You may live in a neighborhood like that, but you let me know where it is, and certainly I want to encourage people to go out there. You know, you're an unusual section of the city, of the community, of the Bay Area, aren't you? But actually, if you're not doing that, if you're not living as a follower of Jesus, which you claim to be, what you are is you're nothing but a stumbling block to other people. The people around you would ask the question, why wouldn't I want to be like you? What have you got that I haven't got? Well, we'd be hard put to tell them. If you were seen by them as a religious phony, a fake follower of Jesus, it turns them off. You throw away a life of spiritual opportunity to play the stupid game. It's called Let's Pretend. And finally, according to the Lord Jesus, having played this stupid game, you're going to wind up in hell. It says when we hear the word of God, we ought to tremble, and I would tremble at that thought. I think of at least two presidents in the latter part of this century that have been known, flagrant, recognized, publicized adulterers. And both of them were solid members of the church, and I never recall them being disciplined by the church at all. In fact, I can still see one of them going into church with a big Bible under his arm. What are the three most mentioned reasons for not going to church? Maybe you haven't heard them. Well, you don't have to go to church to worship God. I can do it out in the open with nature. I'm sure you've heard that one. Yeah, that's what all those nature lovers and golfers, they're out there doing. They're just worshiping God. Sunday's my only day off. You know, you got to rest sometime. You're going to wear you out going to church. Perhaps you've never used this one. There are too many hypocrites in the church. Well, you might as well come. One more or less won't make any difference, man. You ought to stay away from Safeway and Costco and Albertsons and Walgreens because you might come into contact with a few hypocrites and you might get contaminated. It'd be terrible rubbing shoulders with people like that, you know. You know what it really is? It's an excuse. You know my definition of an excuse? It's a reason stuffed with lies. It marks you as a hypocrite. Use such an excuse as that. If you were a God seeker, you'd go to church because you want to. If you were open to God and sense a need, you would go. And probably you will the first time you get in a crisis or have a terminal illness. I've never yet gone into a hospital room to pray for somebody. And somebody else said, Pastor, will you come over here and pray for me? It's amazing how religion flourishes under those conditions. And if you really were of God's people, who would you want to be with? Well, you want to be with God's people. I take it all you family men. You'd like to spend some time with your family, wouldn't you? You say, well, I don't want to go around there, you know. I might be contaminated by them. What is a hypocrite? Well, the scripture says they say and they do not. The Greek, the robot actors, I hope you've ever seen one of these performances of Greek plays they put on at UC Berkeley. One of the characteristics of those plays is they put a big face mask on, you see, because they're playing a role. The face mask shows the role they're playing. A face mask. Mask is the root of the word that's used in our Bibles for hypocrites or hypocrisy. A man with a mask. A woman with a mask. A stage actor. A play actor, a pretender. Fifteen times used in the Gospel of Matthew by none other than the Lord Jesus. What's a hypocrite? What do you say that you're pretending to be something you're not? Well, that would be bad, isn't it? But I will tell you worse, you're pretending to be somebody you never intend to be. You have not the slightest intention of being a follower of Jesus and conforming to his will. But you want to call yourself a Christian. Like 65% of the American people. You're a pretender. The Romans had a god. It's an interesting god, Janus. You may have seen a picture of him. He has a face on each side of his head. You see? And that god was typically on the gates at the doors of people, not at the entrance. What it indicated is this, is you're two-faced. You've heard that expression. We also say you're talking out of both sides of your mouth at the same time. Years ago, I was read about, I was fascinated by this man. He's a Canadian. He was known as the Great Imposter. And he was good at it. He could play the role of a doctor. And the people really believed him. You know, he put that white coat on and that stethoscope, that stern look, walk in, do a physical examination, even in the presence of other staff members, and they believed him. Actually, in one instance or so, he actually did surgery. Now, there was a guy that was a good fake. He never went to medical school a day in his life. He could go into court and play a lawyer. Fool the judge. I once asked a religious leader that I have known personally, I said to him, in fact, he happened to be on television the other night. My son-in-law called me. I couldn't pick him up. But he doesn't believe in the life after death. He doesn't believe that Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. He doesn't believe the men who wrote the prophets. There were three or four different men who wrote Isaiah and so on. Imagine that. I said to him one time, I said, does your congregation know that you believe this? And he laughed. He said, of course not. You know, that really would be bad for the job, wouldn't it? If you're making a lot of money. Today, many ministers and priests and rabbis are imposters before their own congregation. They don't believe what their congregation even thinks they believe. Imagine that. What's the example of hypocrisy? Well, in Matthew 23, we read, they all their works they do to be seen of men. That's the big thing, how people look at you. That's the scribes and the Pharisees. They were masters, examples of religious hypocrites. They love that religious clothing. You notice this morning, I don't have religious clothing. I have my familiar black bearing preaching suit. Would you be more impressed with me if I wore garments, had a cross, had the cuff, had the mitre? Would you be impressed? Well, it impresses some people, you know. If we had an altar here and a cross on it, and candelabra, and a rail out here to keep you heathen out and us priests in. You get that religious feeling, you know. That's why they like it. You just get the feeling religious all over. That's what you get on Sunday. I used to get that. Man, I felt religious on Sunday. But, you know, I didn't feel that way on Monday. Some people say, well, I feel a little religious. But on Saturday night, they get sick. They can't go to church on Sunday. We call it the Sabbath death. Well, you're practically dead Sunday morning, but you've made a remarkable recovery by Sunday night. Oh, they like their religious clothing. You're supposed to wear the scriptures, aren't you? So they took these phylacteries, the scriptures, that they carried down on their garments, made them bigger, you know, so people could say, I'm a man of the word. They did that. And then they had a little blue band around there that marked you out. You see, they made it larger. I don't want you to mistake that. I'm a religious guy. They did that. How do you know that? It's in the Bible. They're like the chief seats in the synagogue. Get out of the way here. You know, sit down at the top seat, the speaker's table. You know? You don't want to sit out there with the trash. They like that. They like the fact that people would come to him public and say, Rabbi, Rabbi, you know, you're a great man. Our title is Reverend. Sometimes it's very reverend. Right reverend. Most reverend. One time I had a phone call at home. My wife answered. And this sugary voice said, is the reverend at home? And June said, who is this? I didn't get introduced this morning. The reverend, Mr. Gibson. Very reverend, right reverend. What's trouble with that? Well, the first is only used one time in the Bible, and it's used of God. They never told them to call themselves that. But they loved it. Yeah. And when they prayed long prayers in public. That shows he's religious. I remember listening to that one time. He prayed, he prayed, he prayed. Finally, the songwriter got up. He says, well, our brother is finishing his prayer. Let's sing this hymn. Pray a long prayer. You must be more spiritual. Nothing of this is in the character of Jesus at all. How could a follower of Jesus call himself a priest and be a child molester? You spent so much money, you bankrupted four dioceses, paying off millions of dollars. And you say that you're a priest, and that you give people the forgiveness of sins, and that you represent God on earth. You believe that? He's a hypocrite, isn't he? That's what Jim Baker on TV was. And Jimmy Swaggart was. The whole crowd of others. They were fakes. They were phonies. They were hypocrites. And their secret sins were known to God before they were ever known to the people by the press. If you're not a true follower of Jesus, living sacrificially for him as he did for you, you don't do that. Jesus wore simple clothes. He had one particular garment that people made for him. It must have been pretty nice. It didn't have any seams in it. They gave it to him as a gift. And they took it away from him when he died without any clothes. He didn't have a lot of clothes. He needed money. He didn't carry money. I wondered in an illustration he had to borrow a coin. And he died deprived even of the clothes on his back. You know, he was the real article, wasn't he? Saw a question on some program I watched last night. Who they thought, Einstein thought the man that would be remembered more than any coming generations, and not a single one got the right answer. I knew who it was, the right answer, which even the host didn't show. You know, the person that had the most influence of all time on all people all over the world, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't own anything. unlike me, he never wrote a book. He didn't command an army. He didn't head a political party. He wasn't a lobbyist. He didn't try to change the social customs of the people. He talked to their hearts. He talked simple. He didn't quote theological authorities. His authority was the book, wasn't it? He said, written with the finger of God. It is written. That's what it is. And that was his authority. Yeah. He pronounced woes on them. Oh, I would hate to have him say this about me. You serpents, you snakes, you generation of vipers. Wow. Talk about hypocrites. How shall ye escape the damnation of hell? You've known the truth. You've heard the truth. You've heard the commandments. You've professed to respond to his call, but you don't live according to what he says. Like snakes. And what will you do when you come before your supreme judge, the Lord Jesus, and you meet him in the great judgment? And the books are open. You say, what's in those books? That's a record of every sin you ever committed. What you did, what you said, what you thought, what you didn't do, what you should have done. And you were far from the life of Jesus. Every single one written in the books. And it says you were judged out of those things written in the books. Why were you judged? Because you didn't have them cleansed, forgiven, washed in the blood of the Lamb when you became his follower and made him Lord and Savior of your life. So you're going to face this. You're going to face it. And you say, well, what's on the table? How about a plea bargain? That'd go well, wouldn't it? Did you officers make a mistake? You didn't Mirandize him, did you? Right? A little police brutality in there? You're in a rage? Why? Well, you're in your menopause. Or it was your period. You're getting off on that. And up until recently, you could get away with it. You ate too many Twinkies for 2 days. And you get off. You say, well, I'm going to use that. No, you're not going to use it. You don't get away with it. There's no plea bargaining. And all the world will be guilty before God. And you'll stand there naked in your sins. And you won't have one word to say. No trade-off. You have no information you can trade for a plea bargain. See? And they got another book. It's called the Book of Life. And in it are the names of all of those who are going to be in heaven with the Lord. You know, the disciples got all excited when they did a lot of miracles. They got pumped up and everything. And Jesus said, oh, don't get too excited over that. He said, you be excited. You be enthused. You be joyful. You be glad your names are written in that Lamb's Book of Life. And when you get up there and they don't find your name in it, I'm telling you, you're going to do more than gulp. It's not there. You professed, but it wasn't real. You said, but it wasn't so. You play-acted, you pretended your entire life, and now your chickens have come home to roost. Are you a true follower of Jesus this morning? Can you say that? Absolutely. I am a follower of Jesus. I obey him as Lord. I'm committed to him every day of life. Is that you? Or are you a hypocrite in religious guard? And you're under the curse of God. Woe unto you. Woe unto you, hypocrites. How shall you escape the damnation of hell? Let's pray. Right now, in your heart, no one can see but God. He knows the truth inside of you. Ask Him, Lord, am I really your follower? Are you Lord and Savior of my life? Have I committed myself to you? Or am I just a hypocrite? Oh, Lord Jesus, we tremble at your word. We tremble at your word. It's a word that I didn't even want to bring, but you laid it on my heart. Because obviously this is a great sin in your sight, Lord. Please work by your mighty Spirit in our hearts this morning and change our lives and our attitudes. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.